10.8, page number 503.
Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattah sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante maam buddha bhava samanvita.
So now we will read the word for word meaning. So kindly repeat after me.
Aham,
I,
sarvasya,
of all,
prabhavaha,
source of generation,
mattaha,
from me,
sarvam,
everything,
pravartate,
emanates,
iti,
thus,
matva,
knowing,
bhajante,
becomes devoted,
mam,
unto me,
buddha,
learned,
bhava samanvita,
with great attention. Translation. Kindly repeat after me.
I am the source
of all spiritual and material worlds.
Everything emanates from me.
The wise who know this perfectly
engage in my devotional service
and worship me with all their hearts. I will also read the purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
A learned scholar who has studied the Vedas perfectly and has information from authorities like Lord Chaitanya and who knows how to apply these teachings can understand that Krishna is the origin of everything in both the material and spiritual worlds. And because he knows this perfectly, he becomes firmly fixed in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord. He can never be deviated by any amount of nonsensical commentaries or by fools. All Vedic literature agrees that Krishna is the source of Brahma, Shiva and all other demigods. In the Atharva Vedas it is stated that it was Krishna who in the beginning instructed Brahma in Vedic knowledge and who disseminated Vedic knowledge in the past. Then again it is said, the Supreme Personality Narayan desired to create living entities. Again it is said, from Narayana Brahma is born, and from Narayana the patriarchs are also born. From Narayana Indra is born. From Narayana the 8 Vasus are born. From Narayana the 11 Rudras are born. From Narayana the 12 Adityas are born. It is said in the same Vedas, the son of Devaki, Krishna, is the Supreme Personality. Then it is said, in the beginning of creation there was only the Supreme Personality, Narayana. There was no Brahma, no Shiva, no fire, no moon, no stars in the sky, no sun. There was only Krishna, who creates all and enjoys all. In the many Puranas it is said that Lord Shiva was born from the highest, the Supreme Lord Krishna. And the Vedas say that it is the Supreme Lord, the creator of Brahma and Shiva, who is to be worshipped. In the Moksha Dharma, Krishna also says, the patriarchs, Shiva and others are created by me, though they do not know that they are created by me, because they are deluded by my illusory energy. In the Varaha Purana it is said, Narayana is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and from him Brahma was born, from whom Shiva was born. Lord Krishna is the source of all generations, and he is called the most efficient cause of everything. He says that because everything is born of me, I am the original source of all. Everything is under me. No one is above me. There is no supreme controller other than Krishna. One who understands Krishna in such a way from a bona fide spiritual master and from Vedic literature, who engages all his energy in Krishna consciousness, becomes a truly learned man. In comparison to him, all others who do not know Krishna properly are but fools. only a fool would consider Krishna to be an ordinary man. A Krishna conscious person should not be bewildered by fools. He should avoid all unauthorized commentaries and interpretations in Bhagavad Gita and proceed in Krishna consciousness with determination and firmness. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vansha Kalpataru Bhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So here, Lord Krishna is declaring that He is the source of everything, that He is the Supreme Lord. And in this verse He is also defining what it means to be God. God means Aham Sarvasya Prabhavah Mattah Sarvam Pravartate. It means that everything should come from Him, that He should be the source of everything. This is the preliminary understanding of God. The Vedanta Sutra, also known as the Brahma Sutra, begins with this saying, Janmadi Asyataha, that God or the Supreme Absolute Truth is He from whom everything emanates. That is the first definition or the understanding of God. So tomorrow if somebody asks you, what is the meaning of God? Immediately you should reply, God is He from whom everything emanates. Of course, if he wants further information, then we will give him further information upon what is the nature of that source. Who is that person? What are his qualities? What are his attributes? What are his names? Where he stays? So these are details that will come for a person who wants to know more. But at the preliminary level, the most basic understanding of God is that He is the source of everything. He has no source. He has no origin. But He is the origin of everything. We can all see that both you and I, we have some origin, we have a source, our parents. And then our parents had their parents, and so on and so forth. Similarly, in this world also you can see everything has a source. This microphone had a source, it was created by someone. This mridanga had a source, this room had a source. So everything in this world, whether animate or inanimate, has a source, a beginning. And if you trace it backwards, there will be a point when you will have to come to a full stop. And that full stop is God. Because you cannot proceed beyond that. Sometimes people ask, if we say we are all created by God, then who created God? But God has no source. He is the source of everything. That is the definition of God. So here also Lord Krishna is saying, Mattah Sarvam Pravartate, that everything is emanating from Him. So this is the easy formula for having love and peace in the world. So people in the world are lacking this very basic understanding of who is God. And that is why there is so much quarrel. There are so many attempts to build universal love, universal brotherhood, universal fraternity, and universal so many things. But ultimately they are all doomed to failure because they do not go to the origin, the root. The origin is God. Unless we have love of God, we cannot have universal love. There is no question of that. And if you love God, automatically you will love everything else and everyone else. So here, it is said that God is the source of everything. Now everything includes the whole universe also. The word everything, what does it mean? Whatever you can imagine and whatever you cannot imagine, everything is included within this word, everything. So Krishna says He is the source of everything. So if you love Krishna, the Supreme Lord who is the source of everything, automatically you love the entire universe. There is no need for trying to separately love all the different creatures of the universe. So the solution is simply to love Krishna. the origin of everything. Now, those of you who have gone abroad, you may have known when you are in a strange land and all of a sudden you meet some Indian or you see some Indian, what happens? Do you not feel a certain bond all of a sudden coming up? And you search your way out, you go and meet him. You go out of your way to meet that person and ask him, where are you from? Which part of the country are you from? Where have you come from? Why are you here? And you strike up a friendship with him. Why have you chosen that person among all others? There are hundreds of people on the street. But you spot this out as somebody belonging from the land of your origin. Isn't it? So immediately there is some love. There is some rapport that builds up. Because the origin is the same. You love the country, he also loves your country. Therefore, you love him. The origin is the same. Similarly, we see even here, people are coming from distant provinces to Bombay. From all over the country, people are coming to earn a livelihood. But still, even in a cosmopolitan city like Bombay, everyone is setting up their own associations. The Tamil Association, the Bengal Association, the Malayali Association. So everyone is setting up their own associations according to their narrow land of birth. Those are Bengalis, they have a greater affinity for those who are Bengalis. So they form an association because they have a common origin. Isn't it? So similarly we see, if we trace it backwards, where does it all end? Who is the common origin of everything? Krishna, God. So therefore, we understand all of us are related. We are all related to that common origin point. So if we all together love Krishna, then automatically we will all be able to love each other very easily without any problems. Only when you try to love each and everyone separately, then you love somebody and you hate somebody. You like somebody, you dislike somebody. You embrace someone, you fight with someone. So this is the nature of the duality of this world when your vision is disconnected from the origin of everything. We can see that right from childhood, even a child has a propensity to serve. Initially when he is very small, he is very, very selfish. He likes to work and act only for his own happiness. Whatever he finds that is pleasurable to him, he grabs it. And he cries for it and he insists that he must have it. Even if it means that the others are put to great inconvenience. He will have his way and he will have his pleasure. But as he grows, he begins to understand that I must also act for the pleasure of my friends. So he starts taking food from his mother for his friends and children. He starts being concerned about their welfare. As he grows older, he starts being concerned about the welfare of maybe some others, his family, and then maybe his neighbors. And in this way, his radius of concern and love keeps on expanding. And then gradually as a youth, he may fight, he may be representing his community, or maybe his nation. And maybe when he grows further, he will start talking about humanity, or he may be talking about protecting wildlife, about nature. So he will do all these things. But a person with the broadest vision, what does he do? He doesn't restrict himself to just seeking pleasure on the basis of his own identity, individually. Neither does he seek happiness for just his community. He goes to the origin of everything, Lord Krishna. The origin must necessarily include everything. Because Lord Krishna is the origin of everything, naturally he also includes everything within himself. So therefore, if you truly are concerned about everyone, if you are concerned about this whole world, and indeed if you are concerned about yourself and your family, what to speak of the whole world, then we should all immediately begin to love Lord Krishna. That is the meaning of understanding God or having true knowledge. We may understand, yes, God is the origin of everything, but what is the practical implication of all this in your life? That's what is described here. Iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. That a person who understands this truly is called a buddha. Now a buddha in Sanskrit means a person who is truly very learned, a man of wisdom. You've heard of buddha, right? Gautama buddha. The word buddha also comes from this. The root Sanskrit means buddha. So buddha means one who is very learned. A truly learned person is not one who has got a PhD or one who is a scientist or one who is simply a scholar of Sanskrit. A truly learned person is one who has understood that Lord Krishna is the origin of everything and that he is the Supreme Lord. And therefore, what does he do on the basis of this knowledge? Bhava samanvita. He says, iti matva bhajante maam. He immediately begins to render devotional service to me. He becomes my devotee. And he starts worshipping me how? Bhava Samanvita. When spiritual emotion, in transcendental emotion, he begins to worship the Supreme Lord. This is the meaning of understanding God. So if tomorrow somebody talks to you, eventually when they know that you are becoming serious in Krishna consciousness, when you are studying Bhagavad Gita, many people will want to come and argue with you. And even when you speak to people, they will have so many questions for you. So when you talk to them, you say, yes, I also know that God is the source of everything. I also know that Krishna is the source of everything. So the answer should be, well, if you really know that Krishna is the source of everything, if you know that God is the origin point, then why don't you worship Him? Why don't you surrender to Him? Why don't you become His devotee? This is the meaning of knowledge of a learned person. So one who is devoted himself to Lord Krishna is the person who truly understands in what way Lord Krishna is the origin of everything. And then he begins to love everyone and everything. It is described that Lord Krishna is the root of existence. And the entire creation is like the tree. The tree has many parts. It has leaves, fruits, flowers, branches, many parts. But if you separately try to water the flowers and the fruits and the twigs, do you think the tree will get nourished? It will die eventually. But a learned person understands where is the root of the tree. Simply by watering the root, automatically the water is sent to all different portions of the tree. The whole tree becomes nourished and strong. And it can yield many sweet fruits. So in the same way, if we are simply going to worship Lord Krishna, who is the root of all existence, then we need not separately try to serve each and every living entity or each and every different portion of this creation. Automatically, everything else will get serviced and satisfied. And our true love will manifest. We cannot truly love others, even if they are your own family members. This is important to understand. You cannot even love your closest and dearest and nearest ones unless you have love for Krishna. What we think is love is actually not true love. It is love simply on the basis of some bodily sentiment. That because this person is related to my body, therefore I love him. But this love will end very shortly. Or it may get disturbed by so many temporary disturbances that come into the picture. That is why you find father is getting separated from son, husband is getting separated from wife, brother and sister are separating, everyone is separating, friends are separating, nations are separating, because that love is wrongly based. It is on a faulty, tottering platform. So even if we want to love anybody else, even if that person is our most dear and near one, we must realize that that love is not complete unless it is reposed in Lord Krishna. So if you love Lord Krishna, what to speak of your family members, you will love all creation. It is said, in fact, Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva yonishu kaunteya murtayah sambhavantiya tasam yore mahat brahma aham bija pradahapita. He says, I am the seed-giving father of all existences. All these species, they come from me. Aham bija pradahapita. Therefore, I am that seed-giving father. In the Padma Purana, it is said that there are 8.4 million species of lives. The aquatics, the birds, the beasts, the plants, humans, and so on. And all these things, they all come from Krishna. Krishna says, I am the seed-giving father of all. Krishna does not say, I am only the seed-giving father of the Hindus. He doesn't say, I am the father of only the Hindus or the Indians. He is the father not only of the India, of the Hindus, but he is the father of the Muslims, of the Christians, of the Parsis, the Sikhs, everyone. He is the father of the Indians, the Americans, the Pakistanis. And not only that, he is also the father of the dogs and the cats and the trees and the plants, the lizards, the cockroaches, the ants, the mosquitoes. He is the father of everyone, all living entities. He is the supreme father and the only father. The other fathers and mothers of this world are simply surrogate fathers and mothers, secondary fathers and mothers. The real father and mother of all is Krishna. That is the vision for universal brotherhood and universal love. When we understand Lord Krishna is a seed-giving father of all, so everyone else is our brother. It is a wrong conception to try to propagate universal love, universal brotherhood on one hand, and then have slaughterhouses on the other hand. People are saying, yes, this person is my countryman, and therefore I will protect him. But on the other hand, I will not give protection to the cow. In the Vedic system, the king, he had such a vision, a spiritual vision, that he considered all the living entities in his land to be the citizens of the land. He didn't think it was only the human beings who were citizens of the land. And he was equally concerned for the welfare of all living entities, not only the human beings. There are so many stories in the scriptures given about this. There was a king called Shibi. This king Shibi, one day a bird came to him, a small dove. And he said, look, I am being chased by an eagle. So please protect me. You are the king of the land. So I am also your citizen. So you must protect me. So he said, alright, I will protect you from the eagle or the hawk. So soon, very soon, the hawk came there. And the hawk, he said, he saw that the dove was under the protection of the king, the powerful king Shibi, and he understood that he couldn't do anything. So he petitioned the king. He said, my dear king, you are protecting this dove because he is your citizen, and rightly so, because your duty is to protect the citizen and to see their welfare. But please consider that as much as the dove is your citizen, I am also your citizen of your country. And it is as much your duty to protect me. This dove is my natural food. If you do not allow me to eat this dove, then I will starve to death. So, how can you protect me? Unless you let me have the food. So then, Lord Maharaj Shibi, what did he do? He said, alright, just to protect you, just to give you a proper food as is my duty, I will cut my own flesh. So he started cutting his own flesh and giving pound by pound of that flesh to the eagle. And soon, very soon, the dove and the hawk, they revealed their true positions. They were actually great demigods who had come to test Maharaj Shibi. But they saw that this was his vision. His vision was that not only are the human beings my citizens of this state, my praja, but even the animals, the birds, the insects are the praja of my land. And it is my dharma to actually protect them. The king is a kshatriya. The word kshatriya means one whose duty it is to protect others. So he protects all on this vision. Sarvayonishu kaunteya. Murtayah sambhavantiya. So that is the vision of a learned person. Because a king in the earlier times was guided by learned brahmanas. So he would rule according to the principles of dharma, according to the principles of the scripture. And therefore he would see with this broad universal vision. However, today what is happening? People are trying to foster relations between different communities, which are always fighting with each other. They are trying to foster loving relationships between different countries. But unfortunately, their vision is defective. Because on one hand, they're trying to do this, and on the other, they're saying, we cannot protect the cow, we cannot protect the goat. But that is not the vision. So the root is to love Krishna. If you love Krishna, automatically you will not be having this artificial disparity in loving one member of God's creation and then slaughtering the other. Equal vision begins from love of Krishna. There is a wonderful story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about this, about a person who develops genuine love for all living entities simply by loving the Supreme Lord. Now once upon a time there was a hunter, his name was Mrigari. He was a very ferocious looking man. And right from childhood, he had been trained by his father, who was also a hunter, in the art of killing. And because that was the only thing he knew, he was killing many animals in the forest. And once, the great sage Narad Muni was traveling through the forest. And he saw a very strange and a very painful sight. He saw along the way as he was walking, the whole path was strewn with different animals and birds lying half dead and flopping in the dying throes in agony. And he was wondering, who is the cruel person who has actually half killed these animals in this way? There were so many animals and birds like this. Eventually, as he walked on, he could see that there was a man who was planning to kill another animal. And this man had a very fierce look. He had bloodshot red eyes, he had a dark complexion, disheveled hair, and he was about to kill another living entity. And when Narad Muni approached, immediately the hunter, he came towards Narad Muni and said, that you have disturbed my prey. I was just about to kill somebody, and by your coming here on this path, you have disturbed this person, this living entity, this animal has run away. So Narad Muni prayed to this person, that why are you killing in such a ferocious manner? Do you not know that you are causing so much pain? Why do you not just kill the entities? Why do you leave them half killed? So the hunter replied, that my dear sir, this is all I have known since childhood. He became very humble. Actually, incidentally, this is one of the great qualities of a saintly person. Immediately, just upon seeing him, even ferocious people become mild. It is said in the case of the great Acharyas, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and the other great Goswamis of Vrindavan, that at that time, you see, the whole area was infested with many dacoits. Even today, you will find that there are many dacoits. So, it was said about them, that even when great rogues and ruffians would come and see them, immediately they would become very mild and humble, and they would become meek and they would offer obeisances. Simply by just looking at them, because they radiated so much warmth and love and compassion, automatically their heart melted. So similarly, when Narad Muni came, Mrigari, who was such a fierce man, his heart melted. And he said, my dear sir, why have you come here? You are asking me to half kill these animals, but actually this is all I have learned from my father right from childhood. I do not know any other way except half killing them. Then Narad Muni explained that you will be subject to very severe pain according to the law of karma. Because you are subjecting these living entities to unbearable pain, so you will also have to suffer this pain. So my request to you is please at least kill them completely at one shot. Don't leave them half dead in this way. So he said, alright. And then finally when Narad Muni understood that this hunter was beginning to soften, or he said, better still, if you really want to become freed from all this misery, you should just stop killing altogether. But the hunter was perplexed. He said, if I stop killing altogether, then how will I feed my family? How will I survive? So Narad Muni said, you don't worry. If you simply stop killing, I will ensure that you get all your supplies of food and whatever you need in this world. That is my lookout. It is my guarantee to you. Just simply stop killing. So then Narad Muni blessed this great hunter who was to later on become a great devotee. And he blessed him and told him to simply chant the names of the Lord, stay there, follow the basic principles of devotional service. And then he left. The hunter, he was very obedient. He followed all the instructions that his spiritual master Narad Muni gave him. And very soon news of his bhakti and his devotion to God spread far and wide. And all the people in the neighboring villages, they were struck with wonder because they saw the transformation. Such a ferocious hunter who was committing so many sinful activities, now he had become such a calm, sober, a great devotee of the Lord. So automatically everyone came and started supplying him grains and fruits and whatever else he needed. He had everything. So Krishna, through the medium of all these people, was supplying this hunter, who had now become a great devotee, with all his necessities of life. Then one day Narad Muni wanted to show his friend Parvat Muni the glories of this hunter devotee. So he took Parvat Muni along. And as they were coming, this hunter, Mrigari, who had now become a great devotee, he saw them approaching in the distance. And when he saw them, he started approaching them. And on the way, he started brushing aside very gently with his cloth some things that were on the floor. You see, I was seeing certain ants on the road, and they were right on my path as I was approaching you. And I thought that if I walk simply straight on this path, then I would crush them to death. So I just brushed them aside so that they should not be injured or they should not be killed by my footsteps. So Narad Muni turned to Parvat Muni and said, just see the glory of one who becomes a devotee of the Lord. Earlier this very man was such a fierce hunter. He had no compunctions in killing even human beings, what to speak of animals. But now, he is fearful and hesitant to even harm an ant. Just see how much his love for all living entities is. So what can we learn from this? Simply if you become a devotee of the Lord, if you love the Supreme Lord, Lord Krishna, automatically you will love even an ant.
So will you not love your fellow countrymen? Will you not love the person who is following another faith? Will you not love another person who is in another country or who has a different view from yours? This is universal vision. So this is the solution to all the problems of this world, simply to keep Lord Krishna in the center, to love Him, and in this way everything will be solved. All our problems will be solved. So Lord Krishna is the universal Lord and the Father of all. He is not the Lord of only the Hindus. He is the Lord of all. So it is important to understand that we have to worship the person Krishna. It is not some other abstract conception. The source of everything is always the person. We were talking about the source of these objects here. We were talking about our own origins. We can see that our origin are our parents, who are people. The person who made this microphone or this mridanga, they are people. They are persons. So similarly, the source of origin of everything is also a person. And we must understand who is that person. Lord Brahma describes the nature of this person. Advaita machyutam anadim anantarupam adhyam purana purusham navayovanam cha vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhaktav govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. He says, I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who is unattainable by the Vedas, but who can be understood only by the pure unalloyed devotion of the soul, atma bhaktav. Vedeshu durlabham is very difficult to attain simply by Vedic study, but very easy to attain by one who is atma bhakta, simply by great devotion to the Lord. And he is simply advaitam, that is, he is one without a second. Achyutam, that is, he is never decayed, he is always infallible. Anadim means he doesn't have a beginning. Adim means he is the beginning of all. Purana Purusham, he is the oldest person. Actually, have you ever seen a picture of Lord Krishna as an old man? Have you seen him with a white flowing beard or stooped shoulders or a walking stick? We have never. Why? All he says is Purana Purusham, that he is the oldest person. In these days, by the time we are 45, 50, we have so many diseases, we become old even before we are actually old. But Lord Krishna, he is Purana Purusham, the oldest man in the whole creation. But he is not an ordinary man. He is not an ordinary living entity. Why? Purana Purusham Navayovanamcha. Because he is Navayovanamcha means he is always ever fresh, always youthful. And the beauty of his youthful bloom is what you see on the altar when the altar will open it in about half an hour's time. He is always the youthful. He has the beauty of millions of cupids. In the Brahma Samhita, Brahmaji goes into ecstatic raptures explaining the beauty of this Lord Krishna. That how he is just a simple blooming youth. He has a blue complexion body. He plays on a flute. He tends the cowherd boys. He has curly locks on his hair. He has lotus-like eyes. And in this way, very elaborate descriptions are given. Krishna appears only as a small boy. And this is the original form in which he appears. This is the form. This is the Supreme Lord Krishna, Govinda. He is the source of everything. Sometimes when we talk about the source of everything, or the oldest person, or the creator of everything, we have in mind somebody who is very, very mighty, somebody who is very powerful, somebody who is very big. The last thing we can possibly imagine as a supreme source of everything is a small boy who is so gentle, who is so beautiful, and whose beauty is so vast that it encompasses the entire creation. When Srila Prabhupada went to the West, people in the West had never heard of Krishna. And when Prabhupada told them that Krishna, the youth Krishna, who has a youthful luster and he has a blue complexion and he's a cowherd boy, they somehow couldn't understand. They were used to other conceptions of God, where God is the Almighty, All-Powerful. But to understand the Supreme Lord as a blue complexion cowherd boy is something completely alien to their whole way of thinking. And in fact, what to speak of people in the West, even people right here,
in this country? What to speak of people in this country, even people who are Hindus, people who apparently proclaim themselves to be followers of Lord Krishna? They also do not believe that this young boy with a youthful look and a blue complexion is actually the source of everything. There was one gentleman who was arguing with me that actually this person whom you are showing me is not the Supreme Lord. He is just he comes from the Supreme Lord who is impersonal. But actually, what is the fact? The fact is that he is Purana Purusham. He is Adhyam, Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadim Rupam. And he has unlimited forms. His form is endless and he himself gives rise to innumerable forms. Unlimited, Ananta Rupam. That is the nature of God. The God is always enjoying. In this form, he is seated always in his spiritual world, in his planet of Golok Vrindavan. And he's simply enjoying with the cows, with his cowherd boyfriends, with the gopis, with his mother and father, Nanda and Yashoda. And he's always playing. This is the meaning of God. And it is this small boy, Lord Krishna, who is the origin of everything. That is the significance of the word Aham. Aham Sarvasya Prabhava. I am that source. So it is this boy Krishna who is the source of everything. And our worship should be directed to this one Supreme Lord. And we should not be diverted to all kinds of concocted notions of God. Therefore, Brahmaji in his Brahma Samhita prays, Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. He says there are many controllers in this world, Ishvaraha. But among them there is a Supreme Controller, Parama Krishna, Ishvara Parama. This Krishna, he is the supreme among them all. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sarva Karana Karam. At the end, he is the cause of everything. Anadir Adir Govinda. He doesn't have a beginning, but he is the beginning of everything. And he is Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. He has a form, a Vigraha. But what is the nature of that form? Not like your form and my form, which is made of these material elements which are going to decompose any day. They are already decomposing. But his form is Satchit Ananda, a form of eternity, knowledge and bliss. So when we see the form or the picture or the deity of Lord Krishna, we should not imagine his form to be material. It is entirely spiritual. And this spiritual form is the origin of all other forms. So when Lord Krishna says he is the origin of everything, he is not simply talking about the material world or even the spiritual world. He is not only talking about the living entities like you and me, not only about just the demigods, but he is also the source of all incarnations. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated, Ete chansakalaha punsam krishnastu bhagavan swayam. Therefore, Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam. He is the Supreme Lord Himself and all others are simply Ansha or Kala. Ansha means His portions, His expansions, and Kala means the expansions of His expansions. Because Krishna is Ananta Rupam, He has unlimited forms and expansions, it means that He unlimitedly expands Himself into so many different forms, so many different avatars, incarnations. At a suitable time, we will study what are the different kinds of incarnations that Lord Krishna has. But suffice it to say that He has so many incarnations as there are waves in the ocean. But He is the origin of them all. Rama di murti shukalaniyamena tishtha nanavataram akarod bhuvaneshu kintu Krishna swayam samabhavat paramasvamanyo govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Lord Krishna, Brahmaji says that there are many incarnations like Ram and so on. But ultimately the origin of them all is Lord Krishna. He is the origin. So there is a wonderful picture here you can see that depicts how Lord Krishna is the origin of everything. All the avatars are here. There are descriptions given in the Srimad Bhagavatam of the different avatars. So can you all see this picture? And you can see that Lord Krishna is right at the top. He is the fountainhead of all the different avatars.
And from him come all the others. You can see here, this is Mahavishnu, then there is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, there is Varaha Avatar, and there is Kshiradakshaya Vishnu, there are the four Kumaras, there is Narad Muni, right? There are so many, Matsya Avatar, Kurma Avatar. There are different kinds of avatars. All these avatars have been represented here. But Lord Krishna is the fountainhead, the origin of all of them. Even the avatars to come are depicted here. Kalki avatar. He will come at the end of Kali Yuga. Even he is depicted. But Lord Krishna is the source of all of them. So this is the Lord Krishna that we want to worship. When Akrura, you know Akrura, he was Krishna's uncle in Krishna Leela. When Krishna came here 5,000 years ago, he came directly as himself. And he manifested so many different pastimes. And he stayed in Gokul, in Vrindavan. And as you know, that his uncle, Kansa, he was a great Asura. And by many, many ways, he was trying to kill Krishna, right from his childhood. Ever since Krishna was a baby child, Kansa was trying to kill him. He sent so many Asuras, demons there. Putana, Trinavarta, Bakasur, Pralambasur, so many different demons. Right from childhood, but Kansa was, he was unsuccessful. But Kansa did not cease in his attempts, because after all, he was afraid of his own death. So he was very desperate. So finally, he decided that he would send Akrura. Akrura was in Mathura, Kansa's capital. So Kansa told Akrura that because you are his uncle, and Krishna and Balaram both love you very much, therefore they will listen to you. So you kindly go to Gokul, to Vrindavan, and you tell Krishna and Balaram that you should please come to Mathura to participate in a Dhanur Yajna sacrifice, and then there will be some competitions, so you please come for them. So if you invite them in this way, they will surely come. They will not be able to refuse your invitation. And then, when they come here, I will engage them in wrestling with these fierce wrestlers like Chanur and Mushtik, and I will kill them. I have so many plans. So you please be my messenger and go. So Akrura went to Gokula. And Akrura was a great devotee of the Lord. Akrura, of course, had no intentions to cause any harm to Krishna and Balaram. But he knew that they are the Supreme Lord. What can Kansa do to them? He was supremely confident because of his love and his faith in Lord Krishna. That no harm, not even a single hair on their body would get damaged. So he went there, and he also thought that this is a good excuse for me, a good reason for me to see Krishna and Balaram, because I have not seen them for so long. So it's like killing two birds with one stone. So let me go. So he went to Vrindavan, Gokul, and after spending a very beautiful time, the wonderful time there, he was received very nicely by Krishna and Balaram, very nicely looked after. And then Akrura explained his purpose. And Krishna, of course, he is Sarvagya, he knows everything. So he decided, yes, now it is time for me to leave Vrindavan, and my Mathura Leela must begin now. My Vrindavan Leela should end, and my Mathura Leela must begin. So he told Akrura, please convey the news to all my fellow Brajabasis. They should all get ready, and tomorrow early morning we shall depart for Mathura. So naturally all the residents of Vrindavan were very, very much aggrieved and in great distress. That is a story in itself. But nevertheless, they started out in the morning on the chariot. And after driving for a long time, they reached the Yamuna. That was the borderline between Mathura and Vrindavan. So they all got down there to take a bath. It is a custom that whenever you approach a holy river, you should take bath. So they got down. And first Krishna and Balaram went to the Yamuna. They refreshed themselves and they came back and sat in the chariot. When they were seated, Akrura went to take bath. So he was taking bath, and again it is the custom that when you go to the holy river, you stand up to your waist and chant the Gayatri Mantra. So in this way Akrura was standing in the water, immersed up to his waist in the water, and he was chanting his Gayatri Mantra. And at that time all of a sudden, he saw Krishna and Balaram standing in the water. So he was confused because he had just seen them on the chariot. He had left them behind on the chariot, and how all of a sudden did they come here in the water? So immediately, he left everything and went back to the chariot, and he saw, what did he see? That Krishna and Balaram were sitting on the chariot. So again, very quickly he ran back to the water, and what did he see? That Krishna and Balaram are in the water. So he became very confused. And then all of a sudden, what happened? He saw there was Vishnu Mahavishnu, who is Garbhadakshaya Vishnu in this form, he was lying on a serpent bed, Anantashesha. Balaram had actually become Anantashesha, Sheshanag. And Krishna had become Vishnu or Narayan. And he was lying on the serpent bed with a very calm, cool look on his face, very beautiful, with a garland of flowers, very nice, beautiful flowers around his neck. And he was lying there, four-armed form, very much in bliss. And when Akrura saw this, he was struck with wonder. Because around them also, all the demigods were present. The Siddhas, the Charanas, all the residents of the heavenly planets, Narada, the great devotees, all of them were there. Lord Brahma was there, Lord Shiva was there, Narad Muni was there, the four Kumaras were there. And all of them were glorifying their lordships, offering them flower petals, singing praises and in their glory, and so on and so forth. So Akrura was so struck with wonder. Immediately he fell flat and offered obeisances. And then he offered very wonderful prayers. And then after that, the vision disappeared. And then Akrura took bath in great ecstasy, and he went back to the chariot. And at the chariot, Lord Krishna asked him, as if nothing had happened, "So my dear uncle Akrura, did you see anything there, either in the water or in the space, by any chance?" So Akrura immediately understood that Lord Krishna was pulling his leg. So he said, "My lordship, you are my lord, you see, all these wonderful things in the creation, they are all within your universal form, the Virat Roop. So when I am seeing your wonderful form in front of me, then what is the need to see all these other wonderful things? I am already seeing everything wonderful. Moreover, your beauty is so much, is so great, and it is so wonderful to simply look at you, that simply by looking at you automatically, there is no need for me to see anything else. All things that are beautiful and wonderful are coming only from you." So in this way, Akrura also reciprocated with the Supreme Lord. So we can see that again in this Leela also, Lord Krishna is demonstrating that he is the source even of Mahavishnu, of all the Vishnus. Normally people think that Vishnu is the origin of Krishna. But actually, Vishnu comes from Krishna. Krishna, it is stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in great detail, Krishna is the original source of everything. From him comes Balaram. Balaram expands himself into Narayan, and then there is a fourth Chaturvyuha, four-handed expansions. Pradyumna, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, Vasudev. And again there is Narayan and Sankarshan. And finally from all of these comes Mahavishnu. From Mahavishnu, who is the first incarnation in the material world, from him comes Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. From Garbhadakshaya Vishnu comes Kshirudakshaya Vishnu. Kshirudakshaya Vishnu is the source of all avatars in this material world. Now this subject, I am just skipping over and going over it very briefly because we will be covering it in another session. But the point to state here is that there are three categories of these Vishnus. And all of these Vishnus are ultimately coming, not directly but indirectly from Krishna. They are expansions of the expansions of the expansions of Krishna. So we can understand, what is the position of Krishna? All the avatars in this world are coming from this Kshirudakshaya Vishnu. It is the same Kshirudakshaya Vishnu who is in our hearts as the Paramatma. So Krishna is the source of all of these put together. That is the meaning, that is the position of this one child, baby Krishna, of this boy Krishna. He is the source of everything. So please imprint this one beautiful picture in your heart. And never let this picture leave your heart ever. He is the source of everything. There is another very beautiful picture here which shows that Lord Krishna is the origin of everything. He is always enjoying. And from him you can see all these arrows coming. Everything is emanating from him. The impersonal Brahman, the Paramatma, the incarnations, the Vishnu forms, the material world, the spiritual world. Everything is coming from him. So we will stop here. Are there any questions that you have?
Why is there a need for Krishna to have so many expansions?
To expand his bliss unlimitedly. Krishna performs so many different functions. Just like for the creation of this world, Krishna expands himself into the Purusha avatars, the three categories of Vishnu whom I described. The position of Krishna is that he is always in the spiritual world and always enjoying. Krishna, the original Krishna, he has nothing to do with the business of creating the material world, of maintaining the material world, He is simply enjoying. But he expands himself and lets his expansions handle all this business of creating, sustaining, maintaining, destroying the material world. Just imagine if you are in your home. Everyone likes to be at home with their family, enjoying. But then the necessity of this life is that you have to go and work for a living. So you have to go to office. But when you go to office, you cannot be at home enjoying with your family. But Krishna can do that. Krishna can stay at home in the spiritual world. And he says, okay, all this business of creation, destruction, maintenance, okay, he will expand himself and send himself to the material world to handle all these things. And he will remain behind in Vrindavan enjoying. Similarly, Krishna has so many different leelas and purposes to perform. So for all these different pastimes and incarnations, he expands himself unlimitedly. And therefore, these avatars, and each of these avatars, the devotees are relating to them. So Lord Narasimhadev has his own devotees, Lord Ramachandra has his own devotees, Lord Krishna has his own devotees, Lord Vamanadev has his own devotees, Lord Narayan has his own devotees. They are all devotees of Lord Krishna, but in these different forms, multifarious forms. So all these forms are one, at the same time they are different. So because each devotee of the Lord has a devotion with the Lord in different moods, in different bhavas. So according to the particular bhava of the devotee, the Lord reciprocates and takes that particular form. So that is the reason why there are so many different forms of Krishna.
Yes? I would like to ask one thing. Throughout the history of man, we observed that man is going from hell to hell, right from the history, and he has not shown any signs of improvement up till now also. And the world is in a great chaos as what it is now. So how can you state all these things? How the happenings are happening like this? If we see the amount of cows that are being killed, the goats which are being killed each day, for man and all, so many other aspects, the war and all, how can we be clear in all these aspects?
Were you there at the beginning of the talk?
Yes, sir, I was here actually.
So at the beginning, I mentioned that simply by loving Lord Krishna, automatically you will begin to love everything. And that is the fundamental platform on which we can base all our other brotherhood, all our other plans for universal fraternity. Unless this one crucial point is not understood clearly by the people in general, and particularly by the leaders of society, there is going to be only chaos, only disturbance, only violence. So that is the point, that on one hand we say we want universal brotherhood, and on the other hand the government is actively promoting slaughterhouses. So because of this dichotomy, because of this problem, the lack of spiritual vision, this problem is coming about. So if you want a real solution to these problems, we should all understand that we have to become devotees of the Supreme Lord. That is the only solution.
Yes, we have also seen quite a lot of saints and all who have come to this world. They have all spoken. But the sense also is there that God is not showing, He is not trying to get involved more on earth. As we say this earth, He seems to be not much interested in what is happening on earth as what we can actually observe. So in case all the things are there in man's hand only to show his love to God, but God Himself is not showing much involvement.
Yes, He says, although everything is resting upon me, I am still aloof from everything. Why is He aloof from everything? Because He says, it is my business to only fulfill your desire. This material world is created for those living entities, those jivatmas, who want to enjoy separately from Krishna, who are sinful, who have sinful desires. So Lord Krishna has made this material world for them. And in this material world, Lord Krishna says, I simply allow the living entities to fulfill their desires. So if somebody wants to be inimical to the Lord, He allows that. If somebody wants to be a devotee of the Lord, He also facilitates that. So Lord Krishna does not interfere with the workings of this material world, although without Him this material world cannot function. It is only because of His supervision that this material world is going on. But His supervision is indirect. But yet it does not mean that He has no love. He has love. And it is because He loves us that He does not want to force us to love Him, number one. And it is because He loves us that He is sending His saintly persons, His representatives here into this world to teach the mankind in general what is the path of pure devotion. He is sending His scripture. He is sending His holy name. He Himself appears in so many different avatars. to instruct mankind. So out of his love, he's doing all these things to attract us back and to restore some sanity and normalcy in this world and to bring all living entities back to their normal position as eternal servants of the Lord. So yes, he loves us. But the point is, we do not love him. And he will not force us to love him. So the involvement of God is indirect. So if we all become devotees of the Lord from our own voluntary desire, then Krishna will help us. And automatically this whole place will become the spiritual world. It will become like the kingdom of God.
No, but as we have said also that all the souls have come from God, so at which point of time have they gone on the wrong track? Because we are saying that everything comes from the source, which is God. So how come we can see that all this means, how come the fellows, at what point of time has man gone on the wrong track? And how can it be if he is born out of God? Means if the man is, the source is pure, how can the man be impure?
Just like I was giving the example two lectures ago of a fire and the spark. The fire is huge. The spark is also fire, but it is very small. And when that spark is disconnected from the fire, eventually it may tend to lose its fiery quality. Similarly, the soul is one in quality with the Supreme Lord. But when he separates himself from the Supreme Lord by his own desire, of course, factually there can be no separation. But by his own desire, when the spirit soul wants to separate himself from God, then he is overwhelmed by forgetfulness. Why? Because that is his desire. Because he wants to be separate from God, God fulfills that desire and puts that person in forgetfulness in the material world. Since this is what you want, so be it in the material world.